All right, welcome into a special off-season edition of Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali with you today. Always appreciate you being alongside. Feel free to text me anytime. 590-590, name and location, please. That is the People's Text Line. It's always open. Standard data and messaging rates may apply. You can send me a message on X as well, at SNS Ali with two L's, and we'll sprinkle any messages we get throughout the show. It's been an off-season to really remember, at least so far. And last night, we got another piece of the puzzle. Max Scherzer going to be a Blue Jay pending a physical. The reported deal, 1 year, $15.5 million. So Scherzer getting half a mil more than his buddy Justin Verlander did from the Giants. You know, that was probably a part of the negotiations. But that is the news of the last 24 hours. Scherzer going to be a Blue Jay again pending a physical. So here's the drill today on this special edition of Jays Talk. We have a few guests to chat with. Vic Ashbourne from Sportsnet.ca will stop by in a few minutes. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll chat with MLB.com's Kennedy Landry. She'll give us the full scoop on what the Max Scherzer experience in Texas for the last 2 years, or I guess last year and a half, was like. We'll also take your texts, of course, as I said, 590-590, name and location. And I wanted to give a chance to you to weigh in. So we'll take your calls as well. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cellular device. And it's a simple question for you. And look, you don't have to follow my question. You can offer your thoughts on anything you like. But in the wake of the Scherzer signing, I am curious what letter grade you guys would give the Blue Jays if this was the last big move of the offseason. And look, I think we all want a little bit more. Maybe another signing for a bullpen arm. Maybe probably a lefty to be added to that group, I'd suggest. Certainly another bat. Like Pete Alonso is always a possibility. And those additions, I'm sure, would boost your letter grade. But you tell me, on the text line or via the phones, what is your letter grade for the Jays offseason to date? So again, 590-590, name and location, or you can give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. I know Scherzer is 40, and we're talking about the fourth or fifth starter in the rotation here when we're discussing, but I'll say this, it is a fun signing. Like, I'm not sure it's going to be the reason the Jays do or do not make the playoffs, but Mad Max playing for the Blue Jays is just undeniably fun. And I mean, Barker often says this, sports are supposed to be fun, right? Like, there's been a definite lack of fun in the Jays last year, maybe even the last couple of years. So it's for that reason, I primarily support this move with Scherzer. Todd Stottlemyre actually tweeted this out yesterday. He replied to Sportsnet's Chris Black when he was talking about the move for Scherzer. But Todd Stottlemyre tweeted out, Scherzer is a big time gamer and hates to lose. So you guess you can count Todd as one of the fans of this move. With all that in mind, though, right now, my letter grade, even including Scherzer, is, I would say, like a B. I don't know if that's being too harsh or a grader, but a B, I think, seems fair, right? It can be boosted to maybe like an A- with Alonso. And honestly, if it's only an A+, if Vladdy gets re-signed. That's all that's left at this point, though, right? One more bat and Vladdy. And everything after that is pretty much gravy, I would say, right? So whether it's a lefty bullpen arm or whatever else, you know what, before we continue, I wanted to get your phone calls, because of course that's the most important thing. I want to hear what you guys think. Like, who cares what I think? I want to hear what you guys think. So again, 590-590, name and location, that's the text line. We'll read your text in a sec, but 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Let's go to the phones, and let's go to Chris in Oshawa. Chris, you're the first person to tell me what you think of the Scherzer deal. So what's your letter grade, and generally, what are your thoughts on Max Scherzer signing with the Blue Jays?
I think you kind of stole my thunder there a bit, Cho, because I would have gone B as well. For the exact same reasons you said, that a Vladdy contract and one more bat make it an A. But the overall improvements have to be graded with a B with Jimenez and Santander and Hoffman. And I think the Scherzer at 15.5, let's say he has a hot first half and looks good, and the Jays maybe don't do as well as they anticipate. Still a guy at the deadline, you might be able to move for another piece coming back along with some of their more experienced arms. So I think it just gives them a little play, and it allows you to leave Bloss in the minors and not force him up or put too much heat on Mackle and Tiedemann to move too quickly, that you actually have a little bit of a backup plan down at AAA, which, you know, if he gets hurt or doesn't pitch a full season, which I'm not sure anyone's really anticipating he will. And the name recognition, I think it's just another benefit for fans to come down and watch the game. And I really think they are with that name, and they're one more name away from probably, you know, really packing the stadium most of the season, to be honest with you.
Chris, I appreciate the call. Thanks for joining me on Jays Talk. I think we're in an alignment when it comes to the letter grade for the Blue Jays. So Chris gives them a B. I also am at a B. What is your letter grade when it comes to the Blue Jays? And I like what Chris brought up when it comes to how it can be pushed higher. And again, Pete Alonso would push it higher. Vladdy, I think, would be the biggest thing the Blue Jays could do, given how much money he is likely to command. But yeah, what do you think? 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. I want to go to the text line here real quick before we continue talking about Scherzer. Eddie in Fort Erie, always appreciated, Eddie, for hearing from you. He says, I'm excited to see Scherzer pitch for the Blue Jays. I've always enjoyed watching him pitch, and seeing how much fear he puts in the hitters is going to be something else. It's true. You know, Chris Black, I mentioned him earlier from Sportsnet, he was talking about this on social media today. But he was talking about one of the things that a lot of pitchers sometimes do, but a lot of older pitchers do this more than most, is the idea of pitching with intent, and how, like, no matter what it is, don't pitch tentatively. And we've talked about this a lot before, right? Remember when Yusei Kikuchi, before he turned things around, he would talk about how, you know, sometimes he would get in his own head, and there have been plenty of pitchers who have done this, but he's the most recent guy I can think of in terms of examples. And then he did turn it around. It wasn't really an issue anymore, right? He was just attacking the strike zone. That's exactly what you want to see. It feels like Max Scherzer has done that for, like, I don't know. He was drafted in 2003, I think. He's done that for the better part of 20 years. So, yeah, I think it's pretty cool to see Scherzer in a Blue Jays uniform. Again, is this going to be the reason the Blue Jays make the playoffs or do not make the playoffs? Again, I tend to think the answer to that question is no. Doesn't mean it's not a fun signing. Brian in Toronto says, not a fan of the Scherzer deal, given all the other moves. I give the Blue Jays a B+. Pete Alonso likely not happening. Signed JD Martinez. So we'll talk about the bats a little bit later on, because it's true. If you miss out on Pete Alonso and you miss out on Alex Bregman, then there is a bit of a slim pickings when it comes to the free agent market, right? Like, the next free agent guys are Yoan Moncada, Harrison Bader, Randall Grichuk, and JD Martinez, essentially, right? Like, Justin Turner, I guess, right? So I'm not sure anyone's chomping at the bit to have a reunion with either Grichuk or Turner. And again, like, a 37-year-old JD Martinez on a one-year deal is probably not the worst thing in the world, but it is certainly a far cry from Pete Alonso and Alex Bregman, right? Keep the text coming, though. 590-590, name and location. Keep the calls coming as well. 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. We'll take your calls throughout the show. Take your texts throughout the show. Let's dive a little deeper into Max Scherzer before we chat with Nick Ashbourne, though. So Scherzer, 40 years old. He'll be 41 in July. No deferrals on the contract, according to Ben Nicholson Smith. So every single one of those $15.5 million will be paid out to him this year. The Jays are his seventh team. Diamondbacks, Tigers, Nationals, Dodgers, Mets, Rangers, that's six, the future Hall of Famer, and a three-time Cy Young winner has certainly gotten around. Numbers-wise, he is sitting on 3,407 strikeouts, 2,878 innings pitched exactly. So we could very well see Scherzer get to the 3,500 strikeout, 3,000 innings pitched milestones in a Blue Jays uniform, which, again, relatively meaningless, but is still kind of a cool thing to look forward to. Last year for Scherzer was, of course, we can't overlook it. It was one to forget. Just 43 1/3 innings pitched over just 9 games started for the Rangers, an ERA of 3.95 in those 9 games. A lot of injuries last year, right? Right shoulder fatigue that knocked him out for a good chunk of the season. And then the hamstring strain, which ended his year in September. So the key word with a 40-year-old, soon-to-be 41-year-old pitcher is obviously health. Because even just a year prior, between the Mets and Rangers, he started 27 games and he threw over 153 innings pitched for a 3.77 ERA at age 38. So he does have the ability to give you a decent chunk of innings as a backhand starter at this stage. But once again, the operative word is if he can stay healthy. And the good news is, kind of like Chris was just alluding to when he joined us on the phone, there are few, if any, bad, I would say, one-year deals, especially for as little money as he's making, right? So even, and I mean little is relative, $15.5 million is still a lot of money for you or I, but for the average MLB pitcher, it's not a lot, right? So even if he can't stay healthy, I'm not sure I'm going to complain too much about the fourth or fifth starter. The threshold, though, I will say, is probably 20 starts for me. And apart from last year and the pandemic year in 2020, because obviously that was the shortened season, he has hit that 20-start threshold every single year of his career. And again, you never know when it comes to age and how the body holds up. sometimes that all comes crashing down at once. But, you know, you're hoping that Pete Walker and the high-performance staff that has largely kept Kevin Gausman, Jose Berríos, and Chris Bassett at older ages pretty durable, right? So hopefully they can work their magic on Scherzer as well. Now, Scherzer obviously is much older than a good chunk of basically everyone on the Blue Jays staff and in the bullpen, so it might be a little different, but you do hope that that works out for Scherzer there. The move does also have the added benefit of moving Yariel Rodriguez to the bullpen, which I do think makes the bullpen look pretty good, all things considered, with the moves that have been made there this offseason. I got to think, though, knowing that the margins are so slim, I have to think that when it comes to the bullpen, Yariel Rodriguez, especially in the spring, will still be stretched out to be a starter, like just in case, right? Because there's going to be a stretch of games early in the season when they're playing a whole bunch of games in the course of 2 weeks. So you got to think that maybe they go to a six-man rotation at some point. Maybe it's just out of an abundance of caution. But yeah, that's going to be really interesting to see what they do. Even in those 43 and a third innings pitched last year, the underlying numbers did look good. 36.4% chase percentage, that's in the 99th percentile. 29.2 whiff percentage, 77th percentile. 87.9 average exit velocity against, that's a 73rd percentile. And this is from my pal and friend Josh Goldberg. The slider, still pretty elite. Opposing batters whiffed against it almost 44% of the time against it last year. So all of that sounds pretty good to me for a guy who's dealing with injuries for the entire season, more or less. The biggest question, of course, fastball velo. The four-seamer has long been Scherzer's best pitch. The simple answer is I'm just not sure we'll know what the velo on the fastball looks like until he is fully built up in the spring. But the fastball command certainly still there. The changeup's still good. The truth is, to even make it to your late 30s and still have as much success as this guy did, generally speaking, you have to be A, pretty durable, and B, pretty good from a pitching IQ standpoint. So I think at the very least, you are going to get that last part from Scherzer as a Blue Jay. Let's bring in our guest, Nick Ashbourne from Sportsnet.ca, joining me here right now. And Nick, Max Scherzer, and I'm not sure I expected that to come down at 5 p.m. Eastern last night.
Yeah, absolutely. I know they've been linked to him for quite some time now, but if you kind of go back to the beginning of the offseason, I don't think he's a target a lot of people would have associated with the Blue Jays. You know, he's someone who, you know, at his age is at the very tail end of his career. And, you know, if I'm Scherzer, I'm really thinking about my competitive prospects and the chances of winning another championship before I go out. The fact they signed with the Blue Jays and he signed on this contract indicates to me a little bit that, you know, the financial compensation was a really important element for him and his agent. And I think the Blue Jays are going to be pretty happy with a guy of his caliber kind of at the back end of the rotation. Like, they don't necessarily need him to be the top dog, the guy that he's been in the past. He can be a number four starter, number five starter. And if he gives them, you know, more innings than he provided last year, but a few good innings, even the contract isn't that prohibitive.
And health is the operative word for Scherzer, as we know, Nick. And I was just talking about this before I brought you on, just 43 and a third innings pitched last season. But, you know, before we get into any of the other numbers, I have to say, like, just in a general sense, this is a fun signing. You know what I mean? Like, the Jays, and you and I did a lot of Jays talks last year, they just have not been very fun in the last few years. And again, we'll have to see what the Jays fans are going to get from Scherzer. But the Jays getting Scherzer to pitch for them, period, if nothing else, will, I think, be fun. And I think that is ultimately why any of us engage with sports in the first place. So I think for that reason, I do like it. But then you add in a lot of the other things, like he's not making a lot of money. Again, to your point, you're only viewing him as the fourth or fifth starter anyways. He's not like the ace of this rotation. So look, we're not talking about prime Max Scherzer here. So I just think, like, all of that being equal, I got to say, I don't hate this signing, all things considered, even if it doesn't, you know, move the needle as much as the Santander move, for example, does.
Yeah, I mean, as long as this experience is a little bit better than, say, the Joey Votto experience, I think people are going to be glad that, you know, a Hall of Famer rolled through town. And I know a lot of people are considering him having, like, really poor health and not giving a lot of innings as a bit of a foregone conclusion based on what happened last year. And, you know, a guy approaching his age who's had, you know, back difficulties, among other things, is not the most encouraging. But it is worth remembering that this is a guy who had being fairly durable before that season. It is not someone who's been totally snake bitten by injuries his entire career. He's given teams, even pretty deep into his 30s, you know, 140, 150 innings, and that's the type of outcome the Blue Jays would be, I think, ecstatic with. And that's probably too much of an expectation, but I don't think it's something where people can kind of laugh at the signing, like, oh, there's another 50 innings. You know, that's definitely a possibility. It's absolutely on the table. But I think the Blue Jays expect more and Scherzer expects more. And if he gives them, yeah, you know, 120, 130 innings at the back end of the rotation, it would be pretty easy for him to provide at least decent value on the deal.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Nick, because I generally speaking land on the side of there are no bad one-year deals, especially, and there's no deferred money in this deal. So once this is over, if this is it for Scherzer or he doesn't want to be a Blue Jay anymore, that's it, and it's a nice story for 2025. But and I think for that reason, I'm already looking at it with a favorable lens. But I had said last night that 20 starts, which would maybe get you 100 to 110 innings, is like the threshold for me to consider this successful. And you just mentioned the number for you, 120 innings or so. Like, is there a similar number, whether it comes to starts or any whatever else you like, where you'd also say, look, this was the minimum number we need to hit for Scherzer's 10 years at Blue Jay to be considered successful?
Yeah, I mean, 100 innings is a nice round number. You know, you go a little bit above that. Like, think about what Yariel Rodriguez gave the team last year in his kind of hybrid quasi-starter role. Like, he gave the team 86.2 innings, I believe. You know, it was over 100 if you include his Buffalo time. I think you want Scherzer to be able to function as a traditional starter, like, you know, 5 innings, maybe 6 innings, for more than half the season. So again, you do that math, you're talking about, like you said, something like 20 starts, you know, just over half of the 32, something like 5 to 6 innings a start. Yeah, it's 100, 120 innings. You know, he's got a good chance to give you, you know, a win above replacement, maybe 2. And that's where a lot of the projections have him, to be honest. And it is weird to sign a guy with this name, you know, like I said, a Hall of Fame caliber guy, and set the bar so low. But that's a reality when these guys reach this point in their career.
Are there any downsides of having now an all-righty starting rotation? And I suppose it's a good thing the Jays have Andrés Giménez, because something tells me he's going to be plenty busy at second base basically every start. And I guess if Clement is the guy at third base, him as well. But I am wondering, when you look at this all-righty starting rotation, what you think.
I don't see it as a huge issue. I think it's kind of case by case in terms of whether pitchers are able to handle lefties already. You know, could I envision a world where there's an ugly series in Yankee Stadium at some point where a couple too many go over that short porch over there? Sure, that's in play. You know, I don't think it was something where they had to go get, you know, Heaney or Quintan or something like that, because the bounce was a must-have. It's a nice-to-have. They're not going to have it, but if the Blue Jays are going to be successful in 2025, a huge part of that is going to be because the rotation is just giving them quality starts and quality innings, and how they're doing that and which side of the plate, you know, they're coming at, and how the other teams are stacking their lineups against them. Yeah, I see that as a relevant factor, but ultimately a small one.
We're chatting with Nick Ashbourne, writer for Sportsnet.ca, on a special off-season edition of Jays Talk here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali here with you until the top of the hour. One added benefit to this move, and you hinted at it already, and I guess it was going to be the case for pretty much any of the starting pitchers the Jays had considered, whether it was Scherzer or otherwise, but it does likely move Weyrod, Yariel Rodriguez, to the bullpen. And Nick, you have immaculate timing, as you wrote a piece for Sportsnet.ca titled "How a Move to the Bullpen May Affect Yariel Rodriguez's Performance." So this came out around lunchtime yesterday, and then 5 hours later, Max Scherzer signed with the Blue Jays. So again, well done by you for getting this out there, so the web desk didn't have to ask you to write it already. Tell everyone, before we go any further, tell everyone about the thesis of this article before we continue.
Yeah, I mean, I can't claim any level of clairvoyance on that. I wish that I could. I think a lot of other points in my career would have gone differently, but it was nice to have some good timing there. You know, the idea is that, like you said, basically anyone they were going to sign, Yariel Rodriguez, was going to end up primarily in relief. And I believe before I came on, you were alluding to him, you know, being stretched out, maybe making a spot start here or there, being used in a multi-inning capacity, kind of regardless, potentially. But you know, this was something they always knew about him. When they signed him, they thought, we're going to give him a chance to be a starter, but they felt there was a bit of a floor because they were confident he could be a good reliever. And part of that is because in 2022 in Japan, he was an unbelievable shutdown reliever, even though he'd been a starter for most of his career. So he at least has that comfort level with the role. He's got a fastball that's kind of, you know, 94-ish as a starter. As a reliever, he's pushing more towards the middle 90s, potentially. The slider could get a little bit more bite. He could also drop some of his other pitches. Like, he had a 5-pitch repertoire. And, you know, some guys, you know, like Jimmy Garcia for the Blue Jays is an example, they like to have that deep repertoire in relief, but some other guys like to just go fastball slider. I could see that conceivably happening with him, maybe keep the splitter in as well. But if you're talking about fair expectations, I think it's reasonable to think that he can be, yeah, maybe not, you know, what you signed Jeff Hoffman to be, for instance, but he could be an above average reliever. And that's a significant upgrade because the back end of the bullpen, even with the additions made, still had a little bit of uncertainty. And I think having him there as, you know, multi-inning option, potential spot starter, and just someone who brings, you know, solid velocity and a good swing and miss slider, I think that's a real upgrade to the group.
So I am with you on all of that, certainly, when it comes to the positives that come from putting Yariel Rodriguez, after somewhat of an uneven true rookie season, given that he had never pitched in Major League Baseball prior to last year, how it went. So I am with you on that. But I do think, like, if you're looking at the back end of that bullpen, and it's now looks like Jeff Hoffman, Chad Green, Eric Swanson, he looked better certainly in the last half of the season, last third of the season. The return of Jimmy Garcia, and you hope he is healthy because his season did not end particularly positively after he was traded away from the Blue Jays. Nick Sandlin is a part of that, of course, coming over in the Andrés Giménez trade. And now you add Yariel Rodriguez in there. I can't help but think that I feel good about the bullpen, Nick, if only because when you look at the bullpen last year, and you and I have talked about this many, many times, but it wasn't just bad last year. It was historically bad last year. And then on top of that, they sold the pieces of the bullpen at the deadline. So I can't help but think that if you've like semi-remade it, I know it's not quite done. You maybe want one more arm in there, probably a lefty. There are not that many lefties in the bullpen right now. So that would play a little bit better in the bullpen than it does for the starting rotation. But I mean, even if the bullpen, I said this before, even if it's just normally bad or just mediocre instead of being historically bad, the Blue Jays might be like 2 games out of a playoff spot last year instead of 12 games out, right? So I wonder when you look at the construction of the bullpen right now, if you feel any better than you did maybe a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, the left-hander point is valid, right? Brendan Little gave them some pretty good work last year. He's got some interesting stuff. It's kind of similar to Tim Mesa in a lot of ways in terms of the lefty with a little velocity and the good sinker there. And as you mentioned, like, you know, you bring in Garcia again. There's a little uncertainty with him in terms of bouncing back from his health issues at the end of last year, but I think they feel good about him. You know, Rodriguez, Jeff Hoffman, we know there's some health risk there as well, but just an unbelievable kind of relief ace caliber guy when he's going. And yeah, last year the group was miserable. And this year, yeah, I'd be willing to go so far as to say it looks, you know, average. You know, you could even make a case for above average if guys stay healthy. And that's a colossal difference because, as you said, the bar is on the ground. And so even an upgrade that, you know, some other teams might look at this bullpen and think, you know, this is not a terrifying array of arms, but compared to what they had last year, it's a massive upgrade. They should be blowing significantly fewer leads. They should be doing a better job supporting a starting pitching staff that is getting a little bit older, might ease off on the workload a little bit. Like, a lot of the Blue Jays starters in recent years have had huge workloads, and part of it is because they're durable and they're veterans and they're up for that. But part of it is because there just hasn't been faith in this bullpen, especially in close games, to bring it home. And you might see, you know, more starts of you know, Bassett or Gausman or someone like that, where it's 6 innings and it's, you know, it's 91 pitches and it's just an efficient day, and then you leave it to the bullpen. And there just hasn't been a lot of that in the last couple of years.
We're chatting with Nick Ashbourne, writer for Sportsnet.ca, here on a special off-season edition of Jays Talk Show. Ali here with you until the top of the hour. Nick, appreciate this, man. Always fun catching up with you. Hopefully we have you back on, because if we do, that means, if we have you back on before the beginning of the season, I should say, it essentially means that we have more Blue Jays news to talk about. So here's hoping that is the case, but I appreciate you doing this for me, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Talk soon.
There he goes. Nick Ashbourne from Sportsnet.ca also writes for The Athletic as well. Does some hockey coverage for them, for Maple Leafs Hot Stove. Nick is very busy, so I appreciate him taking some time out for me to chat about Max Scherzer. Before we take a quick break, I wanted to continue discussing the Scherzer signing, and we're going to go back to your calls, back to your text after the break as well. We heard from Nick on the Scherzer signing. You've heard my thoughts on the Scherzer signing. Let's hear from the national view of what media outside of Toronto think. This is Ken Rosenthal joining the Foul Territory crew earlier this morning discussing the signing of Max Scherzer.
What's interesting about Max is that he's still going, right? At the age of 40, 41. And remember last offseason, he had back surgery. So he didn't have a full offseason. This offseason, he's healthy and in a position where he could work out and do his normal regimen. And I know he's excited about that, about the mere fact that he is having a full off season. This is one of the most competitive people I've ever met inside or outside the game. And I would never bet against him. I know, obviously, he's had a series of injuries in the last few years, but I'm eager to see him pitch again in 25.
Obviously, this is a different offseason. If we had heard anything about Max Scherzer before, it would have been like, whoa, Max Scherzer's going here. Things have changed with the back surgery and kind of the season that it is. Were there other teams that were in the mix? And I say that because of the fact that I don't feel like $15.5 million is that much for what he brings, that just that aura that kids talk about all the time, that competitiveness to a pitching staff, which I think is a huge, huge bonus for this team that already has a lot of really competitive pitchers.
Well, the injuries certainly played a role in the salary. He's had a number of issues in the past several years. You can't count on him the way you once did. Remember when the Mets paid him 40 or so? It's not happening anymore. So that's the reason why he didn't get huge money. It was quite interesting, as Chandler Rome of one of our podcasts pointed out, that he got $500,000 more than Verlander. Those two guys have been in competition their entire careers, and I'm sure that was not an accident. So I don't know exactly, Eric, where the other interest was coming from, how much interest he might have had, but he's going to a team that you guys were just talking about, wants to be competitive. I'm not totally convinced yet they're there, but they've done a lot this offseason. Now, I still wonder, okay, even if they're good in 25, what happens in 26 and beyond, especially if they don't re-sign Vlad Jr.? But are they going to be an interesting team on the field? Yes, they will be, and Max makes them that much more interesting.
You know, I know sometimes we don't always love Ken's thoughts on the Jays, but I actually think it's a fair assessment. You know, I'm not sure if they're there just yet, while acknowledging what Max Scherzer is at this point of his career and what he brings at age 40/41 in July. But I actually thought it was interesting that he identifies certainly health as a big issue, but it's a good point about the irregular offseason Scherzer had last year, right? Like, we've talked about that with other Blue Jays in the past and how they would have benefited from having a quote-unquote normal offseason. So that's probably an underrated point when it comes to Scherzer this year, because he was really held back by and hampered by injuries, certainly because of that back surgery, then the fatigue and the hamstring. So those are probably unrelated to the back surgery, but just having an irregular offseason for a guy who's so used to routine at this stage of his career and has been around Major League Baseball for a really long time, I think that that is definitely a point that is, should not be forgotten. So that he is having a regular offseason and he'll get to spend it with the Blue Jays this year, I think does bode well. So I just wanted to play that for you because I thought that was an interesting comment by Ken Rosenthal. But appreciate you all being with me here today on a special edition of Jays Talk. We're going to take a quick break, and on the other side, we will chat with Kennedy Landry, Rangers beat writer for MLB.com. We'll hear a little bit more from foul territory. They spoke to Teoscar Hernandez. We'll hear what he has to say on his buddy Vladimir Guerrero Jr. We'll chat about the latest out of the Pete Alonso sweepstakes, and of course, we will continue, most importantly, taking your texts and your phone calls. So still lots for us to do as we continue Jays Talk. You're listening to it. Show Ali with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network. All right, welcome back to Jays Talk, a special off-season edition of Jays Talk here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali here with you for another 20 minutes or so as we continue discussing Max Scherzer signing with the Toronto Blue Jays. Still some time to take your text, 590-590, name and location. Appreciate Nick Ashbourne joining us to chat some Scherzer and his thoughts on the deal earlier in the show. Why don't I read some of your texts right now? We're going to be joined by Kennedy Landry to get the Rangers' perspective of Max Scherzer in a couple of minutes. But I see some text here on the text line. Brendan and Barry saying, because I asked you what your letter grade would be. Brendan and Barry saying, grade C. Signed one big name guy, some over the hill folks, no Vlad or Bo deals. The history of this front office is concerning. You know, I think that's a valid one. I think I'm a little more bullish on it, but yeah, I think that's valid. I think you'd probably need, again, we talked about this off the top, maybe one more bullpen arm, probably one more big bat. And yeah, the Vladdy / Bo extensions. So if Bo got extended and not Vladdy, I think a lot of people would still be pretty bullish on it. So I do wonder when it comes to your letter grades, what you look at it for, whether it's like Brendan, I gave it a B, but you can certainly text me 590-590, name and location. Before we get back to your text, want to chat with Kennedy Landry, Rangers beat writer for MLB.com. Kennedy, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good. How are y'all?
We are great. Thank you so much for carving out some time for us. I won't keep you long. I know it's busy for you, but I just wanted to get your perspective on the Rangers' tenure of Max Scherzer now that it's being reported he is going to be a Toronto Blue Jay next year. You know, it wasn't, I suppose, the most heralded like year and a half of his career, but I am curious what it was like for you covering for him for the last little while. I just keep hearing that he's like a maniacally competitive person, which is sometimes fun, so I wonder how true that is from your perspective.
Yeah, I don't think there's another player probably in Major League Baseball that's as competitive as Max Scherzer. I think everybody knows, you know, players, teammates, coaches, nobody talks to him before he pitches on days that he starts. Obviously, we don't talk to a starting pitcher before they pitch anyway, but he comes in, he's got a plan, he's on a mission, he's walking through, doesn't smile. The two different color eyes things is kind of more striking than you actually think it is. Was one of the kind of weird things I thought about when he got traded over here. So, he's a very competitive guy, and I think he said before that, hey, if I don't think I have anything left in the tank, I'm not gonna pitch. I don't want to be out here if I'm not at my best. And I know it was a struggle these last 2 years in Texas, just injury wise. But he feels like clearly that he has a lot in the tank left to be able to contribute in Toronto this year. And I think Max is also a guy that knows his body really well. So he knows if he's not going to be able to contribute the way that he wants to. So I think he is still a man on a mission. I think he's ready to prove that even at 40 years old, he can go out there and compete every single day.
Well, you mentioned the injuries, Kennedy, and they were such a huge part of the last little bit for him. And I mean, I wonder if he can overcome that obstacle. And you said it, he knows his body. Even before the injuries, he's a guy who has had almost more success than most pitchers who even get to their late 30s. I mean, we're talking about the same tenure as, or the same age range, I should say, as Randy Johnson and guys like that. So I think that is definitely a great group to be in. We heard the idea that he didn't have a normal offseason last year because of this back surgery. Now, you never really know how one's body holds up. I mean, sometimes it holds up for a long time, sometimes it doesn't. But I do wonder, when you think about the idea that he could, for the first time in a couple of years, have a normal offseason, I wonder if you view that as a positive thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think especially for pitchers specifically, they have such regimented off seasons, you know, when they start, you know, long tossing, when they get off a mound, all of these different things that kind of they build themselves up to spring training and into the regular season and beyond. Obviously, Max had that surgery in December of last year. It really did kind of halt him. He struggled at the end of, obviously, 2023 during the World Series. He was placed on the injured list. I think after game four of the World Series, the Rangers ended up having to replace him on the roster. So he was going through a lot of things last year, but I don't think he ever fully got healthy, obviously, going up to December when he had that surgery and then coming into spring training. He spent a couple of weeks, honestly, at home, not even in surprise with the team, just trying to get his body right. So I think, especially for an older guy like Max, I think a really healthy offseason, just coming in, being able to go into spring training fully healthy, can do wonders for a guy like him, for sure.
We're chatting with Kennedy Landry, Rangers beat writer for MLB.com, here on Jay's Talk Show. Ali here with you until the top of the hour. You know, I will admit freely, Kennedy, I was not watching a ton of Scherzer starts last year, but the underlying numbers, even in 43 and a third innings pitched in 2024, suggest that the stuff is still there, right? They were pretty kind to him. The cutter, the slider for him still look pretty elite. I think there's some questions about that fastball velo, but when you look at his actual stuff, even with the injuries, I wonder what you think.
Yeah, I think that's a real great way to put it, that his stuff is still there. I know you mentioned the fastball velo was down a couple of ticks. I think in all of his starts, I don't know if it ever got back to where it was in 2023, but all of those secondary pitches looked really good. And I mean, he had, I think, 3.39 ERA this season in those, I think, nine starts that he ended up making. I think there is stuff left in the tank, like I've been saying. I think he's a guy that knows his body, like I said, and he knows how to pitch. He has all of these different pitches. He's a very intelligent guy. He knows how to face hitters and do all of these various things. So even if the fastball velo probably isn't where it was in his mid-30s, I think he knows how to attack hitters with all of his other pitches, and he's going to be able to get guys out consistently as he learns how to work through, you know, the differences in his body at this point. So I think his Rangers tenure obviously has I wouldn't say been divisive among fans, but you kind of look at it as like, oh, like we got a Hall of Famer, but he didn't kind of do Hall of Fame things in a year and a half. But truly, every time he was on the mound in Texas, it felt like, you know, the Rangers have a chance to win. He's going to do everything to put them in a position to make that happen. So I think there's a lot that, you know, Max can give Toronto this year.
Kennedy, before I let you go, and I appreciate you doing this for me on short notice, one thing I had thought when I saw the signing was, and you kind of alluded to this when it comes to the Rangers, but even if he's just around the younger guys on the roster and not contributing from an actual statistical perspective, but that's probably a bonus for just 1 year, right? I mean, like Kevin Gausman, yeah. Chris Bassett, and Jose Barrios, like they're older guys, so they're probably finished pieces. So that, I'm not sure how much they're going to get from Scherzer, but, you know, Bowden Francis, I know 29 is not necessarily young, but he is a younger guy who has just recently become a starter. Alec Manoa working his way back. Some of the prospects he'll be around in spring training. Like, I just can't help but view that as a good thing. And one thing that I have read about Scherzer, and again, I wanted to get your perspective on this, was he is a phenomenal teammate, it certainly seems to be. Like, he certainly is one of those guys that benefits the rest of the roster. He even seems to have a pretty good rapport with the position players, too. So I just wonder if you've observed that during your time with Max Scherzer in Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he was a huge asset to the pitching staff and to Mike Maddux, the Rangers pitching coach, and just being able to you know, talk and help these guys, older and younger guys, to be honest. He obviously had a relationship with Jacob deGrom from overlapping it with the Mets. And then Nathan Eovaldi is also a guy in Texas who really enjoys breaking down other pitchers. So Max can really fit in well in the Rangers clubhouse and on the pitching staff, and just being able to help those guys and go through different things, different pitches, how to attack hitters. It never hurts to have a future Hall of Famer on your team. And I think you saw that with Max Scherzer. He's a phenomenal teammate. He's always on the top step of the dugout cheering and always super excited. Again, he's a competitor, and that goes across. I think that percolates through a clubhouse sometimes when you have a guy who's that serious and that competitive about everything. So I think that's really going to help Toronto. Again, younger guys with less experience, all of these different things. I think it's going to really, you know, it's a good place for Max to go, and it's a great place guy for Toronto to have as well.
Well, Max Scherzer probably won't be wearing a Rangers or a Blue Jays cap when he goes to the Hall of Fame, Kennedy, but it's still pretty fun to be able to talk about a bona fide Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, certainly, playing for the team we cover. Hey, appreciate you doing this for me. Thank you again. Nice to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of the very short offseason, spring training coming right around the corner, and hopefully we get to chat once the season begins.
All right, yep, 10 days. I hope y'all have a good one and get the season going well.
There she goes, Kennedy Landry from MLB.com, Rangers beat writer for MLB.com. Yeah, that's an interesting thing she said at the end there about how it's maybe the older guys will benefit from it. Because, I mean, we've heard ad nauseum on Jay's Talk, just on the variety radio stations across the network, about how much of like a brainiac, essentially, all of Gausman, Barrios, and Bassett are in terms of how much they absorb and how much they are there for the younger pitchers. So, I mean, we often view that as a positive. I don't see why it can't be also the case for them with Scherzer, right? So a guy who is, again, a Hall of Famer and a guy who's been around the block for a very long time. So, yeah, I mean, I thought initially of it being largely a benefit to Bowden Francis and Alec Manoa and even some of the younger guys who he'll be around in the spring. But maybe it's an underrated discussion to have, well, when it comes to his relationship and what it'll look like with Gausman, Bassett, and Barrios. So, again, appreciate Kennedy Landry for joining us, for giving us the Texas perspective as the most recent beat writer to cover Max Scherzer for his tenure in Texas. A couple things to get to before we say goodbye. Wanted to get to your text, of course, the most important thing. So I was asking you guys about your letter grade and what it would be now that Scherzer is a Blue Jay, or will be a Blue Jay, at least pending a physical. And I only mention that because, you know, if a guy who had back surgery and all these injuries, I feel like physicals are more important, but he seems like he'd be okay if a variety of teams were in on him. But I asked you via the text line what your letter grade is. And let's see, one from Tony in Toronto says, Tony in Toronto, my grade is an F without Alonso and without Vladdy, a big F. Okay, so it's like an F minus, I guess. It seems like a little harsh, Tony, I feel like. I mean, look, I'm not, I am probably more of a glass half full person, which is why I give it a B. But I mean, F seems really harsh. Even if you were like Brandon said C. I thought a lot of people, my genuine guess is that most of the texters would say C, honestly. But F seems like a little harsh given the Hoffman Santander news. But I agree that still a priority for most people, should be Vladimir Guerrero Jr., right? And we'll talk about Pete Alonso in a sec here, because there was some update on some news from him vis-a-vis Bob Nightingale and Jim Bowden, but we'll get to that in a sec. No movement, just to put a quick note on that for those wondering. No movement on Pete Alonso just yet. There's another text here from Dan in Toronto saying, I give them an A- with another bat. It's an A with Vlad's an A+. With another bat, it's an A. With Vlad, it's an A+. But this A- is being given to a kid that flunked last year, so we'll have to see how he does in the second semester. Yeah, you know what? That's also pretty valid. I think it's valid to be optimistic, but cautious at the same time, given that, you know, the track record for the front office in the last couple of years has not been great, right? They've done some good things. I think it's important to recognize when they do good things, like signing Gosman, signing Hyunjin Ryu, certainly a number of years ago, the trade for Chapman, the trade for Berríos, the extension for Berríos. Like, I think those are all things you can give their flowers to, but it just happened A, long ago, and so far and few in between that I do understand the skepticism. So, yeah, I think the idea of seeing how they do in the second semester, i.e. in 2025, I think is definitely a good point. PJ in Toronto, I don't know about this move. Sure, it will bring people to the ballpark, but let's be honest, long-term, it doesn't make sense. It's true. Are we going in for 1 year to win it all and then blow it up? I do think a big part of what the Blue Jays are doing this year certainly is about just laying at least a very shallow foundation for what can come going forward. I mean, we talked about this with Nick, but the truth is simply that in 2026 and beyond, and I've said this many times, there just aren't that many players under contract, right? And now Santander and Jimenez, they're a part of that too. But obviously, as we've talked about ad nauseum, that means less if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and or Bo Bichette are not under contract long term, right? Because then it just devalues everything going forward. As bullish as I am on the Santander deal, I don't think it's not only going in for 1 year, but I do think it is the hallmark. And I mean, we probably had these conversations a lot on this very radio station when Alex Anthopoulos went all in after, you know, a less than heralded 10 years GM up until he made those moves that led to the team going to the ALCS, right? So I'm not drawing the direct parallels between these two teams, but yeah, I do think ultimately it does feel like a let's see what happens at the end of 2025 and then maybe some massive changes will happen if only Vladdy doesn't re-sign here, right? Ryan in Oakville says, I'm obviously on the pessimistic side. I don't think Santander and Scherzer and Jimenez elevate the Jays to the playoffs without many of the players from last year picking it up this year. Maybe I'm a little too harsh. I gave the grade of D. I do think the grade is harsh, Ryan, but I do agree with you that you also need the players from last year to pick it up to make the playoffs in addition to the moves they made. Like, you can't have Scherzer and Santander and Jimenez play excellently and still have so-so years from Kirk, a so-so year from George Springer, a so-so year from Dalton Varsho. Offensively is obviously what we're talking about, because Varsho is elite defensively, even though he'll miss some time with the surgery he got at the end of last year. But like, so I think we can agree this is going to be a very good team defensively, but you kind of need them all to pick it up, the existing players on offense. And I think that's why I'm bullish on the moves they've made, only because we did way too much. I was guilty of this. Way too much of, okay, well, these players all are going to have bounce back years. And Vladdy was one of those guys, and he did have a bounce back year. So, you know, you can't be only relying on that, which is why I do like the ads of Santander and company to this. But again, you do need one more bat, I would say. Paul in Oakville says, I like some of the moves the Jays have made, but they are still at least a bat away. All the great moves that have been done don't matter if they can't get Vladdy extended. I feel like Alonso or Bregman would have already signed if they were truly interested. With so many fringe infielders on the roster, trade for that big bat is likely the best option. Luis Robert Jr. would be nice. It's true. The White Sox just have like no impetus to trade Luis Robert Jr. And you guys know I've been a big fan of Luis Robert Jr. I know he's been injured, and there's some question marks about health and so on for him. So it would be a bit risky with Luis Robert Jr. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, I'm with you on that. It just, do the Jays even have the prospect capital to get a Luis Robert Jr.? I'm not even sure, honestly. But yeah, I think trades are so hard to forecast because ultimately they are, you know, they come out of nowhere. I mean, not sure anyone really had like Andrés Giménez on the bingo card, right? Ian from Ridgeville says, I love the Scherzer signing. Get Alonso, extend Vlad, and I will completely forget about the failures for Soto and Sasaki. You know, let's get to the Alonso stuff too before we say goodbye. We got a couple minutes left here. And I mentioned there was that little Blue Jays adjacent news vis-a-vis Pete Alonso from Bob Nightingale. So again, no real movement, but we've been kind of wondering about it because there's been nothing on it, right? There was that like 24 or 48 hour period where it felt like any second we were going to hear about a Pete Alonso signing, and then nothing. It's been completely silent. So this is from Bob's USA Today column, which was published earlier today, Friday, January 31st. I'm going to read this verbatim. All-star first baseman Pete Alonso, who badly wants to return to the Mets, while the club insists they want him back as well, must decide whether he's going to swallow his pride and take the Mets' three-year offer for about $70 million. The Toronto Blue Jays really have been Alonso's only serious suitor outside the Mets, and if Alonso really wanted to sign there or anywhere else on a short-term deal, it likely would have happened already. Alonso, 30, has made it clear he wants to go back, and as much as the Mets would welcome him back, owner Steve Cohen publicly made it clear they simply won't meet Alonso's contract proposals. It would likely come down to just how much the Mets will pay Alonso in the first year of that three-year contract. Includes an opt-out after the 2025 season to test, allow him to test the market again. Seems almost inevitable that a resolution will be reached. So there you go. It's, take that with a grain of salt, of course, considering how these things can change. But that would seem to line up with the idea that Alonso's preference is to go back to Citi Field. But that if he were to go anywhere else, it would in fact be the Jays. I still lean that he will end up a Met. And if that's the case, whether we like it or not, the Jays are going to have to go shopping on the lower end of the free agent market, because after Alonso, and I'm not super bullish on Bregman, but it certainly sounds like the Cubs are interested in Bregman. The Astros want him to return. The Red Sox are not quite as high on Bregman as they once we once thought they were. After those guys, I mean, the next best bats are probably Yoan Moncada, Randall Grichuk, a 37-year-old JD Martinez, or Harrison Bader, right? I mean, Jerkson Profar, Ha-Seong Kim, and even Jorge Polanco all signed pretty recently. Polanco signed yesterday, so they're all off the market. Trades, as we saw in the text line, they're always possible. But you just never really know what those. Before we go, I wanted to play this piece of audio for you. This is Teoscar Hernandez on Foul Territory. Teo being asked about Vladdy as the last piece of news and what could happen there in the future.
Teo, I got one question for you about Toronto. I know you were tight, or still are, with Vladdy Jr. Based off our combo on, you know, free agency, I'm like, I know he's going to be expensive. Why isn't Vladdy signed up to a 10-year contract? What do you think ends up happening? Do you think at this point he's a year away, he's going to be doing a little dance since he saw what Soto got and he's only a year older than him heading into free agency next year?
Honestly, I don't know. When you have a player like that and he's everybody talk about his body, but he just like that. He just not the way you want it to be, but he still plays and he plays every day. Like the last 3 years, I think he's been playing more than 150 games. And he's been healthy. I don't know why it hasn't been an extension with the Dodgers. And at this point, you know, sometimes as a player, when you don't see the organization try to keep you, you get a little angry. And I think that's normal. I don't think the Blue Jays want that to happen to Vladdy, honestly. And hopefully they can make it work, because he want to stay. He want to stay as a Blue Jays and just being there the whole career. But, you know, at the end of the day, is business, and you have to do what is best for you and your family.
So there you go. Teo saying Vladdy wants to be a Blue Jay for the rest of his career, which I think we knew, but Teo obviously very close to Vladdy. And last night, after the Scherzer news broke, Hector Gomez on Twitter saying, source, talks between the Blue Jays and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. are progressing satisfactorily regarding a possible contract extension. The Jays are getting closer to what Vladdy Jr. is looking for. Now, obviously, we take these reports with a grain of salt. Many grains of salt, I would say, based on the Blue Jays being interested in everyone and not sure what is true and what isn't true. But I think, like many of you mentioned, if Vladdy does get a deal done with the team, I think that'll boost the letter grades for pretty much everyone, including myself. A couple last ones here. Daryl in Halifax saying offseason a B+. And Daryl's right. Extend Vladdy. It's an A++ easily. Jeremy and Curtis saying C+ for now. And this one is from Gary in Toronto. Movie title for 2025 Blue Jays. A country for old men. It's true. The team has gotten a lot older. The average age definitely rising with Scherzer signing. But hey, that does it for us. We got to bounce. Thanks to the calls. Thanks for the texts. Thanks to Nick Ashbourne and Kennedy Landry for joining me today. For Derek Brandeo and Mark Boffo, I'm Sho Ali. If any more news breaks on the Blue Jays one way or another, I'm sure we will be back either with more Jays talk or Blair, Parker, or Blake will have you covered. Thanks again for being with me today. You've been listening to a special off-season edition of Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.